Wyoming Republican Liz Cheney is out. This is Don Rush. This week, she was kicked out of the GOP House leadership after attacking former President Donald Trump and others who claimed the 2020 election was stolen. But she has also vowed to fight for the soul of her party. Michael Laughlin is a political science professor at Salisbury University, and we began with the significance of the decision.
What we're seeing is the playing out, I think, of the internal divisions within the Republican Party. On the one hand, Kevin McCarthy and the Freedom Caucus are playing, in effect, a short game. That is, they think that in order to try to win the upcoming 2022 midterm elections, they need to unify around the base. And the base at this point remains heavily influenced by Trump and the big lie. On the other hand, Liz Cheney is playing a longer game, I think, that she sees real dangers for the Republican Party in the long term and thinks that by calling it out now and by trying to solidify some kind of conservative segment of the Republican Party, that in the longer term, that will play out better.
What do you make of this number of, I think it's almost 100 Republicans who have signed a letter perhaps threatening a third party?
That's a sign, again, of the division, because what you're seeing there is that a segment, an important segment of the Republican Party is doubtful that McCarthy and Jim Jordan are right. That is, that the Trump influence will wane, and it's a dead end, ultimately. So, and they're trying to call it out now in the hopes that they can put off a disaster that may come their way in the shorter term.
Now, the Republicans have sort of a stronghold when it comes to the state governments. They dominate them. They are obviously in charge of A, gerrymandering, but B, also in charge of voting. We've seen a number of laws to restrict voting, and we've even seen suggestions that state legislature might even reach in and overturn a vote. Given that kind of power base, how does that set up in terms of our future democracy?
What's interesting, I think, that some people have observed elsewhere is that on the one hand, you have this division within the national Republican Party, but on the other hand, at the state level, you have a lot of movement that is embracing essentially a Trumpian line and pursuing voter suppression. We could see a significant reduction in our vote turnout. And again, we're facing a short-term and a longer-term issue here. In the short term, that could bode well for the Republicans, that in fact, the 2022 election, not only in Congress, for the legislative state houses and governorships as well, but on the other hand, the demography, again, is against this Republican base at the present time. The longer-term picture, regardless of the voter suppression laws, is more on the Democratic side. But we will have to see what happens to the particular bills that are being introduced, how many of them actually get put in place, and how many of them are actually defeated.
In terms of the democracy, one of the things that has struck me is that this questioning of the legitimacy of the election, at least in 2020, that we could see Republicans doing that again, say, in 2024 if they, for instance, lost, or even questioning results in 2022. In short, they could be establishing a pattern that could delegitimize a presidency or even a government.
That's the more sort of what you might call an existential danger to our democratic system. And that is, if the big lie indeed metastasizes and grows such that we have more and more of the American public doubting the outcome of any election. And therein lies disaster for any kind of democratic representative system. At this point, however, it's still too early to tell whether that kind of gloomy outcome is a likely outcome, or is it going to be more optimistic here? But I think, to her credit, I mean, I think Liz Cheney, I think, is genuinely concerned about this issue. The fight is on, I think, for sure.
One of the things that struck me about Cheney's op-ed is the idea that, Ronald Reagan was somebody who tried to create a broad appeal to voters. But there was also, during that period, an attack certainly on a number of minorities, as well as some of the government programs. What do you make of that? Because it does seem to me that Reagan in some ways was at least a step in narrowing the appeal.
Well, Liz Cheney should be given credit for coming out and criticizing the big lie. But on the other hand, she has been part, and I think this goes back to Reagan, or actually goes back to Goldwater in the 60s, really, that the Republican Party has been focusing on a narrow white base for quite some time. I mean, the infamous, when Richard Nixon used the Southern strategy, moving to embrace essentially a racist character of the South and turn the South Republican rather than Democratic. And the Republicans and Ronald Reagan clearly picked up that mantle as well.
Do you see Trump as merely an extension of that trend then?
Absolutely. I think that Trump was savvy enough to mind the anti-immigrant issue that is fundamentally racist at its core, and was able to, you know, become president on the basis of that. It's part of the dynamic that the Republican Party has been in for quite some time now, for decades, really. Some in the Republican Party recognize that, just pragmatically speaking, again, the demography is against them on this score, and that if they're to be a longer-term party, to be a really competitive party, they're going to have to turn and try to pursue policies that, in fact, will embrace minorities and embrace the broader, diverse constituency that is becoming the American public. Otherwise, they become a rump party, I think, that is simply able to mobilize a more and more narrow base, white base, and that's no future for a national party.
Salisbury University political science professor Michael Laughlin. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Media.